Find your place in Psalm 107 tonight. Psalm 107. It'll take me just a moment to get there. Psalm 107. A good thing about having a loud voice is if the lights go out, my voice does not, okay? So if they go out, then you just behave yourself and all these kind of things. And we'll just see how it was back in the old days. Who was it? I think it was George Whitfield, I think, wasn't it, preacher? That it was reported that they could hear him for up to a mile. Is that correct? So you think I have a loud mouth. What about George Whitfield? Hearing him all the way for a mile as far as distance is concerned. How many of y'all think people can hear me for up to a mile? Would you raise your hand? Yes. Are you calling me a loud mouth? Is that what you're saying? Yeah. Let's pray together. I'm just continuing with the thought that I began this morning on what the Lord has taught my wife and I through this trial with our baby girl. She's doing well. I appreciate you praying for her. But this trial that we went through for the last couple of weeks or so, God has been teaching us some great, great lessons. Just reminding us of some things. I got to one of these this morning, and we'll pick up with point number two here momentarily. On the thought out of Psalm 71, verse 17, you're in 107, just wait on me there. But on the thought of, O God, Thou hast taught me. Thou hast taught me. And I'm just giving you things that the Lord has taught me through this time with baby Jessup. Let's pray together. Our Father, we pray that You'll touch now, and may You guide us as we go through these thoughts that You've laid upon my heart. Would You deal thoroughly with us? Would You speak to our hearts? Would You change our lives? May this be a precious, precious service where You're glorified, uplifted, and praised. And we love You tonight. Thank You for loving us. In Jesus' name, amen. Some of this would be repeat just for those who were not here this morning. My wife was scheduled to go in to give birth to our third baby girl on Monday, June the 8th. And when we got there, it was early in the morning. She gave birth at 10:06 on Monday morning. Our bouncing baby girl was 6 pounds and 8 ounces. And as they were dealing with her outside of the womb, they mentioned that her oxygen level was not where it needed to be. They didn't seem all that concerned about it and thought they would have to keep her just for a little while, maybe an hour or so, before they could bring her to the room. But as the day went on, news began and became worse and worse. She was not leveling out on her own. The doctor came into our room and informed us that he thought it best to have her transported to the NICU unit there at Johnson City Medical Center. My wife would have to stay behind to heal at Franklin Woods while our baby girl was taken by ambulance to the medical center to be hooked up to all of these things that she needed to be monitored. They had her strapped into the transport when they rolled her bed into our room to allow Becky and the rest of us just to see her before they took her to another hospital. For several days, I went between my wife at Franklin Woods and Jessa Rose at the medical center. The hole in her heart that closes at birth didn't close in her. Thank the Lord, we believe it's closed completely now, and we give God the praise for that. Her breathing was too fast. Her lungs had some apparent infection and or problems. And seeing her in that condition was no doubt one of the hardest things that we have ever gone through. An emotional roller coaster began, and we went between the mountain of faith at times and the valley of fear. And for over a week, we watched the Lord work in our baby girl's body and in our own hearts. And she began to show signs of improvement, for which we give God all the praise. And before I got through typing this introduction, as I said this morning, I received a phone call where they were asking me if I wanted to come and take our baby girl home. She was doing better. Tears of joy at the goodness of God flowed, and we praise Him for how He's met our needs and He's answered our prayers. But throughout this trial with our baby girl, during the middle of it, I emphasize, and it's so important that you get this, not at the end of it, I'm talking about in the middle of it, the Lord was teaching us some great lessons. And it's these lessons that I'm sharing with you today. The lessons that we learned during this trial. The first lesson that I shared with you this morning is that God really does hear and answer the prayers of His children. And I encourage you to go back and get that thought from this morning. You can download it or you can order it from us, whatever the case may be, about our prayers can be heard and answered from our God. Major thought number two, and I just want to give these to you. I hesitate to say the word quickly, but I do just want to kind of haste through this here so I don't get bogged down. The second major lesson that I learned and that the Lord's still teaching me and that He's teaching my wife and I and that He taught us through this, number two, is that God's Word gives peace in the storm. God's Word gives peace in the storm. See, another lesson that the Lord taught us through this trial is just how precious His Word really is. And how His Word, no matter what kind of storm winds are blowing, the Word of God can give you peace when your ship is being rocked and rolled, so to speak, and beaten upon and pounded upon, and the waves are covering you, the unexpected storms of life. God uses His Word many times to settle your heart and to give you peace. In these verses, the Lord of glory, I'm talking about in the middle of this trial here, the Lord began to speak to our hearts. He spoke to Becky and I in different ways. The main way He spoke to me was just in my devotional reading, not really going looking for verses. I was looking for some, but mainly just through my devotional reading, just where I am reading through the Bible. God began to flood my heart and flood my soul. You're in the main passage He used in my life at this time. But in Becky's heart and life, it wasn't so much through her devotional walk. It was how He was waking her up in the middle of the night, laying verses on her heart. It was beautiful to watch that happen. For instance, our baby girl was having trouble breathing. She was having trouble holding her oxygen level. And her stomach, honestly, her stomach was breathing like this. I mean, just really, really fast. And they were like, she's breathing too fast. She cannot eat on her own, all these kind of things. And the whole thing was she needs to breathe. Let her breathe. Give her oxygen. My wife was being awakened, if you will, during the night or at nights where she couldn't sleep. And God was working in her heart about verses that our breath is in the hands of the Lord. Just different verses about our breath and so on. And what I'm saying to you tonight is that in the middle of a storm, God can speak peace to our troubled hearts through His precious Word. Let me ask you a question. Is there a storm brewing in your life? Appropriate that there's one brewing outside right now. Is there a storm beating up against your ship? Is there winds and waves that are pounding up against you? You know what I've learned about life? There are times of peace. I'm talking about where things and the waters of life are calm. And by the way, if they are tonight, you ought to praise God and thank God for that. But this life has its way of throwing unexpected waves at you. This is not something that was expected. This was unexpected in our life. We did not go in expecting her to end up in the NICU unit for a little over a week and all these kind of things. We weren't expecting her to have breathing problems. This was a wave that started beating on our heart and all these kind of things. At times like that, the devil tries to pop up on your shoulder and get you to doubt God and question God. But God at that time can become more real to you than He ever has been. May I say to you that God became real to me through this time with this trial. Have you noticed how in times of trouble, when you respond right, I'm not talking about when you run from God, but when you run to God, you run to His Word, you get on your face praying this morning, and then you go to His Word and beg Him to speak to your heart. I went to God during this time, and I begged God. I said, God, I've got to have, tell me, speak to me. I need something from you. And my memory serving me correct because the days are running together for us. It was the next morning when I turned to Psalm 107 just in my devotional reading. And I came to these verses. Look at Psalm 107 verse number 27. Now keep in mind what's going on in our hearts, what's going on in our soul, what's going on in our mind, the emotional roller coaster. Our baby's not in the same hospital right now. She's been transported down the road. She's in the NICU unit. What's going to happen to her? Is she going to survive? What's happening? What's wrong with her? And then God spoke to my heart with these words. They reel to and fro and stagger like a drunken man and are at their wit's end. Let me ask you a question. Have you ever been at your wit's end? Where you just can't take anymore? Look at verse 28. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and he bringeth them out of their distresses. He maketh the storm a calm, so that the waves thereof are still. Then are they glad because they be quiet, so he bringeth them unto their desired haven. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Boy, God used those verses in my life. Those verses where I felt like I'm at my wit's end. Cry unto the Lord and he'll, in your trouble, he'll bring you out of your distress. He makes the storm a calm so that the waves thereof are still. They're glad because they be quiet, so he bringeth them unto their desired haven. When I heard those words and read those words, desired haven, it's as if the Lord began to speak to my heart saying, it's going to be okay. Now, we went through times of what's going on, what's happening, this, that, mountaintop of faith, valley of fear, but God began to use his word in our life. He has flooded my heart with verses. I just list them for you. Psalm 108, 5, 6, 12. Psalm 109, 26, 27. 112, 1, 2, 7. Psalm 25, 5, 12, 13, 15 to 22. Psalm 27, 14. I was writing down every day how God was speaking to me. Psalm 28, 1, verse 2, verses 6 through 9. Psalm 29, verse 11. Psalm 36, verse 26. Psalm 42, verse 5. By the way, he kept me in the Psalms, can you tell? Psalm 43, verse 5, Psalm 40, verse 17. I mean, on and on we go. Nahum, chapter 1, verse 7. Exodus, chapter 14, verse 14. The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. Jeremiah 32, 17. Jeremiah 32, 27. Jeremiah 33, 3. Call unto me, and I'll answer thee. Show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Habakkuk 1:12, Habakkuk 3, verses 16 to 19. Zephaniah chapter 3, verses 15 to 17, verse 19. 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse 19. I'm telling you over and over and over and over again, God was speaking to me through his word and giving me peace. There's a song, it's one of my favorite songs. Far away in the depths of my spirit tonight rose a melody sweeter than psalm. In celestial-like strains, it unceasingly falls o'er my soul like an infinite calm. What a treasure I have in this wonderful peace buried deep in the heart of my soul, so secure that no power can mine it away while the years of eternity roll. I am resting tonight in this wonderful peace, resting sweetly in Jesus' control. For I'm kept from all danger by night and by day, and His glory is flooding my soul. Peace, peace, wonderful peace, coming down from the Father above. Sweep over my spirit forever, I pray, in fathomless billows of love. You know what I've learned, and I'm learning, and I'm still learning? That whatever life throws at you, God can give peace. This doesn't mean that everything's going to be okay, but it means that He can quiet your heart. He can give you a rest. He can give you a peace. He can quiet you down. And many times He does that through His Word. So what I'm preaching to you in this second point is whenever you're going through trials and your ship is being beaten and battered and torn and you're at your wit's end, go to the Word of God and beg God to speak to your heart. By the way, this is one reason it is so important that you read the Bible every day. It's so important that you memorize God's Word and hide it in your heart, because during this time, these verses were popping in my wife's heart and popping into her mind. The reason that they were popping there, because she has hidden God's Word in her heart. She had that well to draw from. And even though she didn't know what book it was in, she didn't know what chapter it was, she didn't know what verse it was. Sometimes she even said, is there a verse that says something like this, Jody? And sure enough, I'd look it up, and yes, there's a verse that said that. She said, I just woke up thinking about this. God has given me this verse. Is this a Bible verse? And yes, it's a Bible. See, God knows what we need. And He takes the Word of God and He gives us peace. May I say to you tonight, I wouldn't take anything for the peace that's found in God. I'm talking about the peace that only God can give. Do you understand that it was good to hear doctors and hear nurses saying, she's doing okay today, she's doing all right today. Yes, her breathing is a little bit fast, we're a little bit concerned with this, but hey, she's stable. That's comforting to hear that. But let me tell you something, no human being can give you peace at a time when your baby girl is lying in the NICU. A human being can't do that, but God can. And in the middle of the storm, God gave us peace through His Word. I love this old book, friends. Let us major on it. Let us preach it, teach it, memorize it, love it, read it, obey it. What a book. What a book. This is lesson number two. Lesson number three. This is a great lesson that God was teaching me. Lesson number three, trials become opportunities to be a witness for Jesus Christ. Let me say this again. Trials become opportunities to be a witness for Jesus Christ. Let me explain what I mean by this. Another great lesson the Lord showed me during this time is how sometimes He allows His children to go through trials in order to open doors with others who are going through the same thing who do not know the Lord. Honestly, I do not know how someone goes through a storm like this that my wife and I went through without the Lord and His presence in their life. I don't understand how they do it. Matter of fact, they don't do that. They have no help. They have no hope. There are many who go through major trials without God, but they don't have to. And one of the things the Lord laid on my heart during this time, when I was going back and forth between Becky and seeing baby Jessa up at the NICU unit. If you've ever been to the NICU unit at Johnson City Medical Center, there's not really a great waiting area there. It's right outside where there's just like a window ledge there, and then around the corner there are some seats and so on. And as I was going up to visit our baby girl, the Lord basically impressed on my heart, open your eyes, son. Keep your eyes open. And when I would approach the NICU unit and I would come upon a young family, so to speak, or somebody standing right outside the NICU unit, I would ask them, do you have a little one in here? Yes, I have a little one in here. I said, so do I. And I understand. See, before this trial, I couldn't go there and say, I understand. Do you get what I'm saying, where I'm going with this? But now I can look at somebody who has a baby in the NICU unit. Are they going to make it? Are they not going to make it? Are they going to go home? Are they ever going to go home? All these, I can look at them and say, I understand. And may I tell you, I didn't see anybody make a profession of faith in Jesus Christ, but I didn't have one person turn a gospel tract away. And there was one man that I think I had my other children with me this day. It was Judson and Jalen. I took them up to see the baby, and we got on the elevator, and there was a man that stepped on the elevator with us. We were leaving the hospital, and he stepped on, and I took a gospel track out and began to witness to him on the elevator. And he said, can I talk to you a minute? I said, sure. We stepped off the elevator, and we walked out to the little lobby, and I sat down. He had tattoos all over him and all these kind of things, and he had had a bad experience at a church or something where a church didn't accept him because of his tattoos. And may I say this to you, if that is true, shame on that church. May I say to you that anybody, I don't care where they're from or what they've done, are welcome at Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. May they find a sincere home. May they find a home for them here. May they never feel uncomfortable to come to Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. May they always sense the love of God in this place. He sat down and said, we've had twins, and one of them has just left this life, and the other one is showing symptoms of the same thing. I talked to him about his soul. He was a professing Christian. He said, yes, I know the Lord is my Savior, but he said, I like to get around other Christians. And the fact of the matter is this, even though he was a born-again child of God, I could sit right beside of him, even though my baby girl did not die. She did not go on into eternity, but at that moment, she was still lying in the NICU, and I could look at him and say, I get it. And I know somebody who can help you. His name is God. May I say to you tonight that it's not fun going through trials, but it can be useful going through trials. Could it be that God has allowed you or allowing you to go through a trial because He's going to put you in the path of somebody who's going through the same thing that does not know the Lord? So if you turn against God and get bitter and get angry and run away from God, what about that person who God had for you to witness to during this time? These are great verses. Listen to these verses. Ezekiel 3:15-17. Listen to this. Then I came to them of the captivity of Tel Aviv that dwelt by the river of Chebar. Now listen to this. Here's what he said. And I sat where they sat, and remained there astonished among them 7 days. And it came to pass at the end of 7 days that the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, I've made thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore hear the word at my mouth, and give them warning from me. Do you get this verse? Here's what was said. He said, for 7 days I didn't say anything. I just sat where they were sitting. And after 7 days of sitting where they were sitting and being astonished while they were astonished, then God's word came to me and said, I've made you a watchman. You hear the word at my mouth and you give them warning from me. Sometimes God has you sit where they sit so they will hear what you say. I'm telling you that the seat that God sat me down in, I did not choose, and I hope I don't have to sit in it again. But I've learned that when I'm sitting in that chair of trials, if all I do is look right beside me, there's somebody else sitting in that same chair. Somebody that God may have set me down here so that I respond right, so I can share with that person. Let me tell you who's helping me. His name is Jesus Christ. Do you understand what I'm saying to you here? I am not saying, God, give me trials. God, don't give me trials. Amen. But when God allows you to go through troubles, listen, I'm not talking about the devil putting you in trouble. I'm not talking about you putting you in trouble. I'm talking about God putting you somewhere. You understand what I'm saying to you? This trial was not because of sin, friends. This was not the devil. This was not our flesh. This was God allowing us to go through something. And one way He spoke to my heart is, I'm letting you sit where they sit so you can tell them about me. You know how God's been working on my heart with this? I have no idea how we're going to do this. I have no idea. But God has burdened my heart so much with just the NICU unit up at Johnson City Medical Center. The PICU, the NICU, all these kind of things. God is laying on my heart, is there a way that we can get there and somehow, some way, be a gospel witness? Is there a way that maybe we could provide a meal for all the workers and share the gospel with them? I don't know. But I know this, because we went through that, God is burdening our hearts for those who are going through it now. My wife and I have our baby girl at home tonight. There's a little baby boy. He's doing well, a little over 2 pounds. You imagine that? Lying in the bed right beside of baby Jesse. We met the family. They're from about an hour, hour and a half away. Professing Christians. They know the Lord. I gave them a gospel tract and said, our church is right down the road. If we can ever help you with anything, please call us. He's scheduled to get out sometime around July 20th or maybe August. The amazing thing is he's fully developed, breathing basically on his own, a little over 2 pounds. They're up there tonight. Don't your heart go out to people like that? My heart goes out more to people like that because I sat where they sat. I understand. God taught me through this that trials become opportunities to witness for Jesus Christ. Let me give you a fourth thing. There's two more and we're done. Number four, these are lessons that we already know. It's just good reminders. Number four, time is precious. Don't waste it. Another great lesson we learned through this trial was how precious every moment truly is. Time is precious. You've heard the statement, time is marching on and it's running out. There is no time to waste. Life is fragile, and we ought not to take it for granted. So many spend the time that we have on frivolous, non-meaning things, while the things of God and eternity go neglected. You know, a storm like this storm that we went through, you know what it does? It resets you. It reprioritizes you. And it reminds you once again of what really matters. The things of this earth fade in importance during times like this. And the things of eternity come to the forefront. Almost put it this way, don't sweat the small stuff. You know? Have you ever gotten upset about something that in the eternity it means nothing? Means nothing. I mean, really, it means nothing. Whenever your baby girl's lying up there, is she going to make it? Is she not? Are we going to get a phone call saying expecting the worst? Or, hey, is she coming home? All that. I mean, at times like that, friends, it just reprioritizes things about what really matters. Let me ask you a question. How are you spending the time you have? How are you spending the time you have with your children? Is it coming and going? By the way, it goes quickly, doesn't it? How are you spending your time with your kids? How are you spending your time with your mate? Are you taking time for granted? Are you spending your life on this earth? Or are you investing your life in eternity? Are you just spending it away and it's gone? Or are you sending it on ahead of you in eternity? The time God so graciously gives us is not to be wasted on things that die when we do, but rather time is to be given to things that will live on after we are gone. We did not know, going through this trial, we did not know if we would receive a phone call telling us that she had taken a turn for the worse. We did not know if each moment we had with her was going to be our last. May I say this to you? When I went to the NICU and my wife was still recovering at Franklin Woods, and I turned and I would pray over my baby girl, I would ask God to touch her body, and I would turn and I would leave and I would go back to my wife at Franklin Woods. I did not know if that would be the last time I'd see her alive. But may I say this to you? That's a truth with every person under the sound of my voice. She may not make it through the night tonight. I hope she does. But the fact of the matter is, I may not make it through the night tonight. You may not make it through the night tonight. And one thing God was teaching me during this time is that time is so precious. It is so precious. Don't let it waste. Friends, what are you giving your time to? Ephesians 5:16, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Colossians 4:5, walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. John 9:4, Jesus said, I must work the works of him that sent me while it's day, for the night cometh when no man can work. Matthew 6:33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Lesson number one, God really does hear and answer prayer. Lesson number two, God does give peace through His Word in times of storm. Lesson number three, trials become opportunities to be a witness for Jesus Christ. Lesson number four, time is precious, don't waste it. And finally, in closing, lesson number five, God so loved the world. You say, what are you talking about? Here's what I'm talking about. As some of you in this room know, because some of you have experienced what we experienced with a child or a grandchild that was in the NICU or struggling, had complications, some of you have gone through the same thing. And as you know, many of you who've gone through this same thing, there is nothing quite like seeing your child lying in a hospital bed sick and needing a special touch to make it. It's nothing like that. As I said this morning, it's as if your own heart is laying in front of you, and your heart has arms and legs, and you're watching your baby struggling to breathe, struggling to make it for another moment, and you only wish that you could make it better. And as I said this morning, if I could have, I'd have changed places with her. But you know, one way the Lord really spoke to my heart through this time when I was going into that room, so to speak, and watching our baby 6-pound, 8-ounce girl struggling to breathe, struggling to hang on, struggling to survive, if you will, the Lord began to speak to my heart and how that breaks my heart to see my child lying in that state. He spoke to my heart about how much He loved me, and that He loved me so much that He willingly sent His Son to die in my place so I could live with Him for all eternity. See, if it was left up to me and my choice or my wife's choice, we wouldn't allow Jesse to go through that. No way. Let me go through it. Let us, but don't put her through that. But friends, the God of heaven willingly sent His only begotten Son to die and bleed and suffer for you and me. We cannot imagine how the heart of God the Father must have broken when His boy, His Son, had the sin of the world placed on His shoulders and He had to turn His back on Him. And as the Son cried out, "My God, My God, why hast Thou forsaken me?" See, the Bible says in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Romans 5:8, "But God commendeth," that means He showed His love toward us, "in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." Friends, trials are things that no one here desires, but everyone here needs. Did you hear what I just said? Nobody desires them, but we all need them. Because it's during the trying times of life that our great God becomes more real to us. He meets us at our point of need and shows us He is all we truly need. No wonder the Word of God says in 1 Peter 1:7 that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. No wonder Job said in Job 23 verse 10, "But He knoweth the way that I take, and when He hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold." Are you going through a storm? Are you going through a trial? Again, if you're not, shout the victory. Thank God for His grace and mercy in your life. But if you are, the Lord is at work. And He's trying to teach us some great lessons. The five He taught me is that He really does hear and answer prayer. His word gives peace in the middle of it. Trials become opportunities to look for others going through the same thing, where you can sit where they sat and you can look at them and say, I understand what you're going through, and God's allowed you to go through it so you can show them how they can go through it and lead them to Jesus Christ. He taught me that time is so precious. At every moment you have with your child, or every moment you have with your mate, or every moment you have with that friend could be the last moment you have. Don't waste it. And don't throw your life away, but invest it in the things of eternity. And He taught me that He so loved the world that He willingly gave His Son for me. May I say this to you? And don't take this wrong. Don't take this wrong. I do not believe I'd be willing to give my son for you. And I doubt you'd be willing to give your child for me. Doesn't mean I don't love you. It just means I'm a natural father. Everybody understand what I'm saying to you? How much does God love us? Look at Calvary. That's His Son. And if He loved me that much, the least I can do is love Him back. Amen? What is God saying to you tonight? As the storm is brewing and seems to be passing maybe, is there a storm brewing in your life? Is there something that hits you and you don't know why? Why? I'm telling you that if you're saved tonight, stand still. Let God move. Standing still is hard to do, isn't it? I don't even know quite how to give the invitation, but I just want to quietly, just quietly, if you'll bow your head and close your eyes. Let me just to begin to deal tenderly with you tonight. Will you allow me to do that? Do you know Jesus Christ as your Savior? If you're here tonight and say, Jody, I just think this is just a bunch of nonsense. Well, the fact of the matter is the Word of God teaches that God is real, heaven is real, hell is real. And God has been so real to me during this time. And we'd like to introduce Him to you. If you're here tonight and you do not know for sure that heaven's your home, today is the day of salvation. Now's the accepted time. And may the Lord draw you to Himself. But I really sense the Lord is speaking to my heart as they just begin just to play through very softly if you can, just as softly as you can. Have you say, Jody, you've preached all day today on this trial that the Lord lets you go through and this storm that was a big storm in your life. And I know God answered prayer with a yes in your life, and now you look back on it, but these lessons that He was teaching you in the middle of it, I need these. Because God is speaking to me. Have you, God's using this message to speak to your heart. How many of you be honest? Put your hand in the air with mine. Would you do that? God's using this message to speak to your heart. If you got your hand raised, I want you to lower it. I want you to listen to me. Whatever God is saying to you, He's a tender God. It could be that He teaches you things that He didn't teach me. But He's the master teacher. And He's speaking. and He wants to help you. Maybe you have a storm brewing in your life. Would you be honest? Raise your hand in the air with mine. You have a storm that's blowing and brewing and all of that. Yes, that's a lot of you. Thank you. Greatest thing you can do, just give it to God. Just give it to the Lord. I'm going to ask Brother Gary just to begin to sing. If God is speaking to you about your soul, or if He's speaking to you about your storm, or if you just want to come and say, God, help me be still. Help me just to be still and let God move. Help me to see the open door that You're giving me through this to win others to Christ. Help me to realize time is precious and it's fleeting too fast to waste. Help me to go to Your Word and may I find peace with what You say to me. Help me to get on my face and beg You for Your help. Would You answer according to Your will? And Lord, help me to remember that no matter what I'm going through, it's nothing what You went through. And You sent Your Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for my sin. Maybe some of you just want to come and get on your face and say, thank You, Jesus. My Brother Gary just begin to sing. Come on, friends. As he sings, stand to your feet. Come on now. Would you do it, please?
Have Thine own way.
You need to come to this altar. Come on. Lord, come on now.
Have Thine own way.
Ask the Lord to help you.
Thou
ask the Lord to give you peace. Give you help during this time.
I am the clay.
Give you grace. Give you a special touch.
Mold me and make me after Thy will while I am waiting, yielded and still.
Just sing on, Brother Gary. We'll give some folks some time here.
Have Thine own way, Lord. Have Thine own way. Hold o'er my being absolute sway. Fill with Thy Spirit till all shall see Christ only.
One more verse, nobody else comes, this will be it.
Have Thine own way, Lord. Have Thine own way. Wounded and weary, help me, I pray. Power, all power, sure.
Let's all stand together, please. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Let me give you one final announcement as you leave tonight. The baseball softball camp starts in the morning down at the great Little League field at the Ruitan. 9 o'clock to 12, boys and girls, pray that there'll be a good number come out. Pray for the message as it's given, that the Lord will speak to hearts. Pray for this baseball softball camp, Brother Nick Lingerfeld, as he leads it. You have some folks you'd like to invite. We're going to back it down to 7 years old, 7 to 12, I think it is, 7 to 12-year-old boys and girls, softball, baseball camp tomorrow. You be praying for that in a special way. Be back on Wednesday night. Ask God to meet with us in a great way. I'm going to ask Brother Ron Smith, sir, if you'll lift your voice and pray tonight, please.
Dear Lord, we do thank You for Your presence. Prayers have been answered all over the globe, dear Lord, for those who call upon You. We thank You, dear Lord, that You're still in the business of saving sinners around this globe. And we thank You, Lord, for all the many faces that we'll see in heaven because Your precious blood was shed for each of us. Thank you, dear Lord, for this wonderful gift, the gift to be brought alive by receiving you as our Savior. We ask you to be with us this week, Lord, and may you work on this church to continue to open its heart and its love to missions as you bring it upon the heart of our pastor, as we continue to support our missionaries and planting churches around this world. We thank you, Lord, for your love and your support. Love that's greater than we can imagine and think of. We thank you that you care for us and you guide us and lead us and direct us. And dear Lord, we do thank you that through this week you provided mercy for Jody. His little baby now is back with him. And ask you to continue to bless and be with her as she grows to the strength of the Lord. Thank you for all you've done for our church. Church family, we ask you to continue to be with those that are hurting in our midst, that you may guide and direct them. Heal our bodies and give them a faith to live and walk in the way. Seek it, share it with others. This wonderful gift that you've given us, the gospel, and share with others how they can know Jesus and find their way to heaven because of you. Ask to be with us this week now. In Jesus' name.